Coming up next, have you bought into this crappy career advice? And then a lot of mixed feelings and what companies are doing about it as people return to the office. And of course, we take your calls and it starts right now. All right, here we go. We are helping you win at work and in your life. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. All right, so I'm just curious. Have you ever heard the crappiest career advice ever given? What is this? I'll tell you. It goes something like this. This is going to shock some people, by the way. So this is a little bit of a warning if you're new to the program. If you've been watching the program or listening to the program for a while, I've said this before. But I'm just putting this out there because it's going to shock a few of you. You're going to be like, wow, Ken woke up on the wrong side of the bed. But it's not true. I'm going to set you free. What is the crappiest career advice that has ever been given? You find a job you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And I feel like it comes from people who talk like that. Some of you go, gee whiz, Ken. Hey, listen, I'm from the South. I can make fun of Southern accents. Leave me alone. If you never have heard this before, this is a sentiment and this is a phrase that's been around a long time and people still say it. Well, if you find a job you love, you'll never work a day in your life. That's such horse crap. It's awful. It's terrible. Let me break it down. Why is it horse crap? Why is this crappy advice? Because it's not true. Here's what they're trying to say. So the people who utter this and then whoever came up with this, by the way, I don't think we know who authored this. Somebody said it. And here's what they meant to say. They meant to say, if you find a job you love, you won't dread doing the work. That's what they're trying to say. If you find a job you love, you won't hate your job. This is true. That part is true. But the phrase, if you find a job you love, you'll never work a day in your life, is total garbage. It's total garbage. You know why I know this? Because I work my freaking butt off. I'm tired at the end of the day. Let's get beyond me, shall we? You ever met somebody who loves crafting something with their hands? I have. I've met gentlemen who build furniture, for example. I remember many years ago getting an opportunity to tour a furniture warehouse in Hickory, North Carolina, which is, if you don't know anything about Hickory, North Carolina, in that area, it's largely that furniture capital of the world. And so the surrounding areas, High Point, North Carolina. And so anyway, I had an opportunity to tour a furniture warehouse. And I was talking to people that were making chairs from scratch. And I said to this old guy, his hands were beat up. You talk to this guy and you go, that dude has smacked his fingers more than a time or two. They have been pinched. They have been scratched. They have been smashed. And they've been used. It was in this old dude. I mean, you could see the arthritis. I think you could see the injuries over time. And yet not once did he mention how hard the work was. This old guy said, man, Ken, I've been building furniture for 40 some years. I love it. What do you love about it? Well, Ken, I love creating something that didn't previously exist that I know someone's going to enjoy. That's essentially, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said to me. He was a craftsman. And I'm looking at a guy who's saying that to me while he's smiling. And he didn't mention all of the stories that I could see plainly with my own eyes that resulted in those hands being beat to death. So this is a gentleman who embodies the antithesis of the stupid statement, If you love your job, you'll never work a day in your life. That's just totally not true. This is a man who works hard, has worked for decades upon decades, and he loves the work. It's why I talk so much about passion. You are willing to suffer injury like this gentleman had. You're willing to suffer failure. You're willing to suffer rejection. You're willing to suffer patience. And I could go on and on and on and on and on. So what's the conclusion? We have lost the essence, not just the definition. We have lost the essence of work because work has become this four-letter word. It's a dirty, offensive word to people. Let me give you an example. Alex, the producer, is going to laugh at this. This is fresh. Earlier this morning, I was perusing Twitter to see, I use it as a news source, and Kim Kardashian was trending. And boy, that you got to be careful on that. You never know what that means. Well, I took a stab and I clicked on it. And she's trending because apparently in some new show that she was rolling out or some interview she did. Folks, I don't even know, it doesn't matter. This is what she said. But she was giving advice to young women, I guess. And she said, get off your bleeping A and work. That was her advice. Like, get up and work hard. And she's being crushed on social media for telling people to work hard. Now, I'm not going to get in the middle of all that nonsense, because a lot of people are going, you're worth millions and millions and millions and you're a reality star and you've done nothing and you're telling us to work hard. I'm not getting the argument, but Kim Kardashian saying, whether she's rich or not, whether you think that she worked hard or not, her saying work hard is a dirty thing to say to people. It's like, oh, how dare you tell me to work hard? Folks, I'm not making this up. And so that's what work has become. It's become a four-letter word. It's become this thing that we talked about this at previous shows, that the thread on Reddit that is wildly popular is anti-work. Like, work is penance. Work is punishment, and it's not. Work is purposeful. It allows us to make a contribution to the world. And it also allows us to actually derive tremendous meaning. We see, like the old man saw in a furniture piece, that he had provided comfort. I've said this before. If you love working on HVAC systems and you kind of think down on yourself and you don't see purpose in your work, you're not in the HVAC business. You're in the comfort business. If you're a plumber and you can't find purpose in your work, you're not in the plumbing business. You are in the relief business. You're in the money-saving business, because when you show up at my house in the middle of the night and stop my leak, you are providing me peace of mind. And you are providing me savings, because if you don't fix the leak, it could ruin my entire house. It might cost me a couple grand, but it didn't cost me 20 grand. You've got to understand that. You got to understand that there is value in work. So how do you answer the question, Ken, what is work that would provide me great meaning and purpose? I'm going to break it down for you next. Don't go anywhere. This conversation matters, because life is too short to just work a job. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Deconstructing one of the worst pieces of career advice you will ever hear. If you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. No, if you do what you love, you'll work harder and you'll work longer. But let me add one other thing. You'll work happier. Listen, this is true. If you do what you love, you will be happy. Because even on the hard days and the long days and the days full of frustration and failure, oh, you know why you're there. And you go, all right, this is part of the deal. I got to deal with it. I got to press through it. Because the outcome is what I'm here for, not the feelings and the emotion. It's about the outcome. So real quick, I just want, we have new people joining this program all the time. And so before the break, I said, how do we find what meaningful and purposeful work looks like for me? Ken, how do I individualize it? I get what you're saying. And so for folks that are new, for folks that have been with us a while, hang in there. We're going to move to some great news stories that we got to unpack. But I just want to unpack this for new people. And here's the formula. This is what I teach. You have a sweet spot, much like there is a spot on a baseball bat or a tennis racket or a golf club that is designed into the club, this instrument, to strike the ball. And when the ball is struck in that sweet spot, we see maximum performance. This is true of you in your work. Here's the sweet spot for you. It is where talent, what you do best, passion, work you love, mission, results that matter very deeply to you. It's where talent, passion, and mission comes into alignment, where you spend roughly 3/4 of your day doing what you're good at, doing what you love, creating results that matter to you. It is that simple. And in that sweet spot, I want you to think of it as almost a circular spot. And in that sweet spot are multiple jobs and career paths for you. We can help you find this. Two resources at kencoleman.com. The first is the Get Clear Career Assessment. And you can bundle it for a really good discount with the book From Paycheck to Purpose. How do you go from just working for a paycheck to working on purpose? Increase your income, increase your impact. The assessment tells you what your purpose statement is and how it fits professionally, helps you brainstorm jobs and see things you never saw before, and essentially helps you find your professional pinnacle, and the book helps you climb it. KenColeman.com. It's worth it. Go check it out. All right. A couple stories I want to get to. Let's go. It's time for In the News. Okay. Wall Street Journal is the source of the first story, first headline and issue I want to cover. Desperate for workers, companies are now trying help wanted ads on TV. The first story that I want to highlight is Domino's Pizza. You know, Domino's has gone through a very interesting rebranding. They're really focusing on customer service. And you think about it, if they can't get people to show up to deliver pizzas, which is never a dream job for anybody, right? If they can't deliver the pie, they're going out of business. So they're really getting serious about this. So what did they do? They started running a TV ad that touts how an entry-level job at Domino's can lead to owning a franchise. There it is, Alex. I'm telling you, this is the competitive advantage for companies. People don't want a job anymore. You know what they want? A better life. We talked about this with the Panda Express. That story where they were advertising a $69,000 job for general managers. Unbelievable benefits. And a college professor got his feelings hurt. Got his panties in a wad, if you will, over being over not making as much money as somebody who's a general manager at Panda Express. The guy got torched on social media. So Domino's is figuring it out. Panda Express figuring it out. Listen to this. This is the ad itself. I'm reading from the ad. They had an Oregon-based Domino's franchisee owner who's only 27 named Lolly Jones. So Lolly says, if you want to make money and have fun while doing it, you won't find a better opportunity than your local Domino's. This is the kind of messaging that companies are going to have to say. And I'm coding it for you, right? The code word here is better life. Better life. By the way, I just noticed in the corner of my eye, the chat room is really jumping in on this story. And super listener Gary Spratt said, eating pizza is a dream job. Well, yeah. How much exercise you got to go along with that? Okay. So many companies are doing this now. They are increasing their spending on help wanted ads. This was interesting. The statement is the cost of not filling open jobs far outweighs the cost of doing TV ads. So you think about how expensive it is to buy TV. It is expensive. But again, if they don't fill the jobs, that's more expensive. We're talking about serious problems. Other companies are turning to social media platforms such as TikTok and Instagram to get people. So Domino's had to shorten their store hours because of staffing shortages. And they had really weak fourth quarter sales. So that's why they're stepping it up. Here's another company that saw some real responses. FedEx started running TV commercials during the football playoffs. And the name of the commercial was called Careers, My Work. And they were running this this commercial during the National Football League playoffs, regular season games and so forth. And it was explaining how FedEx employees get to deliver significant things, like even the Vince Lombardi Trophy, which you win for winning the Super Bowl. So they're obviously gearing that towards football fans. Vaccines is very relevant at the time, of course. And water to places dealing with disasters. And then the spot goes on to say that FedEx has many open positions. So what they were doing there is, in a TV commercial, they were tying the work of delivering something to something greater. You're not just delivering, you delivering a item, you are delivering relief. You're delivering something cool. The FedEx driver that's delivering the Vince Lombardi Trophy, that's pretty cool. That's a cool story. Get to tell everybody, hey, Mom, you're not going to believe this. I'm dropping off the Vince Lombardi Trophy. They are speaking to something much higher. They are speaking to values here. What happened? They got 11,000 applications in 1 week. I'm sorry. Gee whiz, I read that wrong. Let me get deeper into the paper, folks. My eyes are getting bad. 111,000 applications in 1 week. Higher than any week in their history. So what does that say? For you leaders out there trying to attract people, you better appeal to their values. FedEx did, and they got inundated with applications. People start going, you know what? That'd be cool, man, to deliver something that matters. It's like I said in the first segment. You're not a plumber. You're a disaster relief provider. Think about it. If my pipes explode when it is 20 degrees outside and it's 2 in the morning, you are in the disaster relief business. And boy, oh boy, does Mrs. Coleman love you. Far more than she loves me at the moment, and I don't blame her. I'm worthless, Alex. I can't fix that leak. You have to start to see the value. Okay. Next story. This is really, well, let's see. Yeah, I'm going to touch on this very quickly. So, obviously, in the Northeast, we're seeing a lot of people return to the office. And companies are trying to figure out, how do we get people back in the office? Because we want them back in the office. But they don't want to be too hardline. And they're doing things like allowing people to have ice cream socials, happy hours, creating new clubs of interest and hobbies within the building to entice people to stay at the office more. What are they doing? And this is why I'm sharing the story. They're creating more opportunities for community. People want relationships at the office. They want friends. And again, look for companies that are doing this. You're going to see more intentionality on culture. People want human interaction, not just a job. By the way, I'd love to have an ice cream social after the show one day. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to have you with us. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. I want to throw something out to the chat room. All right, so calling all people that are just watching live, this is a very dedicated group of people that watch the show on YouTube live. So this is for the chat room. I'm going to leave this here, and I want to come back to it. And I really do want your feedback. Now, this is going to freak some of you out. Alex has no idea. I think he has a little idea what I'm going to say, but I'm going to put it out there. If I were to eat something live on the show from time to time, would it need to be a segment or would it need to be random? Do you want me to review it? What do you people think about the idea of me eating something from time to time live on the show? Joe doesn't like it at all, but he's just so uptight about how it sounds and all that stuff, and I really don't care. Joe is grumpy. I just want to know, is it a hard pass for you folks? Do you like the idea? Do you need to know more? Do you have suggestions? I'm just going to leave it there and we'll move on. But I just wonder these things. I think Nathan's all for it. My video director. No, I didn't say slop all over the camera and like just sit there and eat in front of people. There's got to be something to it.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. Yeah. Why not?
Okay. All right. Let's hear what the people say. Ralph jumps in right away. Not sure if I like it. I can't imagine Ken talking with Chick-fil-A sauce on his shirt. All right. I'm a man of the people. What do the people say? The comments are coming in. We'll get to that later in the program. All right. 844-747-2577 is the number to jump in. If you got a comment or a question, if you want to call in live and suggest your food segment, we'll take those calls too. Ben is up in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. area. Ben, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, how's it going, Ken?
I'm living the dream, bro. What are you doing?
I am chilling in D.C. right now. It's a beautiful, beautiful day.
Oh, that's nice.
In the nation's capital.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Are the cherry blossoms?
Very rare here in D.C.
Yeah. Is it too early for the cherry blossoms there, or are they starting to show?
One more week, and then they're going to come out.
Oh, yeah, it's one of my favorite things in the world. Yeah. Well, what's going on?
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, so anyway, I was calling in because I've been thinking about starting my own video production company. And to give you a little bit more context, I've been doing videos since I was a kid, loved, getting all my friends together, shooting video, and I studied in college. But I always kind of had cold feet when it came to doing, jumping in full time. And the reason why is because I'm sure you know this, that video production is a very unstable career. You're kind of doing like the gig economy. Sometimes you're typically freelancing. It's hard to find like a full-time job doing that. And so I've kind of like always kind of gone back and forth. Like I worked at a startup for about 4 years and then they let me go. I did the freelance thing for about 3 years. That didn't work out. And then I was like, okay, maybe I need to get some security. So then I got a job at a big, big company with about 1,700 people. And to get like that job security turned out to be one of the most toxic places I've ever been at.
Oh, no.
And eventually, it was crazy. I was like, man, I went into the 9-to-5 and people were sending me emails at like 2 o'clock in the morning. They were working on weekends. And eventually they reshuffle the company and let me go. So now I'm kind of like back at square one and I'm currently doing like a part-time job at a bakery, which is really fun. But whenever I kind of think about, and I've done a lot of the networking, talking to lots of people about what kind of job would be a really good fit for me. And every time I go to like a video production company website and I see that title, like creative director, founder, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's really what I want to do.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like that cold feet, right? It's kind of like,
well, let me ask you this.
Taking that leap.
Is the cold feet based solely on the fact that you want to do this for yourself and you're not as willing to do it for somebody else first for a while? Meaning working for yourself versus working for somebody else.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like I would do it for someone else, but it's just kind of hard to find, that kind of job. And I've done like all the interviews and applied to a lot of different places. And I think kind of like where my heart's at would be doing it for myself. Like I love the entrepreneurial mindset. Like I've always been like that.
All right, so let me ask you this.
Yeah.
So why did it not work before? You said it didn't quite work out. Why?
Yeah, I think it was just because I didn't have enough money. So I just didn't know how to scale a business. And
you didn't have enough money to do what specifically?
Didn't have enough money to really invest in, equipment. I think that was the big thing.
Okay. Let me ask you this.
I didn't have a good focus. Yeah.
Did you figure out, I know what's going on. So let me tell you why I'm interrupting you and taking you a direction.
Sure. Sure.
So let me go ahead and give you the end result and then we'll back into the end. Okay. The end result is this is what you're supposed to be doing. There's no question. You love this kind of work. You're just scared because you tried it once before and it didn't work and you've created a false narrative that that's just how it's always going to be. And you are just dealing with all kinds of doubt. Not that it's the work you should be doing, but that you can be successful doing the work. Does that sound about right? Am I on it?
Yeah. You're pretty accurate. Yeah.
Okay, then. So what I'm trying to help you see is you have created a fear that has come out of the doubt. So the doubt has made you thou become fearful that if you go for it again, you are going to starve and be homeless, and everyone will say, what a big loser you are. Sound about mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. So here's the deal. We got to go back and learn something from the first time and go, okay, am I really going to starve and live under a bridge and everybody that knows me disown me if I were to try it again and it wouldn't work? We go to the worst possible fear. Is that possible at all? Is that really going to happen?
Well, no, I mean, I think, well, the other thing too, I didn't mention, like the first time I did it, I think I had a ton of pride. I was very arrogant.
Yeah.
So I didn't really ask for help and stuff like that.
Right.
And I didn't want to take any kind of like side jobs because I
right.
thought that was.
Well, that's a great
now
lesson.
Now I kind of learned a lesson. I'm like, oh yeah, I work at a bakery. Yeah.
Welcome to life, young Ben. You got humbled by failure. Yay.
Yeah.
Like failure is awesome for that reason. Failure teaches us lessons that nothing else or no one else can teach us.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
So here's the deal. So here's your homework assignment. I want you to go back sure. in. I'm not going to make you say all this on the air. But I want okay. you to, here's your homework. I want you to go back through and go, what did I do right? Where did I win? I want you to truly write this stuff out. Or you can create a spreadsheet mm-hmm. if that's your jam. But I want you yeah. to visibly be able to see the answers to these questions. What did I do right? Where did I win? Is the first question.
Mm-hmm.
What did I do wrong? Where did I lose? What was confused? What did I never quite get clarity on? And then what was missing altogether? Now I know this was the piece that was missing. So to give you an example, one of the things I think is confused for you, or maybe it was missing, is you think you got to have a bunch of capital to run a successful production company because you need all the capital to buy the equipment. And I say, that's garbage. What you need to do is you build in the cost of your equipment for the production into the pricing. That's what everybody else does if they own it or not. And you rent the stuff and you keep renting it and you keep renting it and you keep renting it until you have enough money, cash, to pay for the equipment. I know this is true because I had some buddies and we did some projects early on when I was trying to get into broadcasting that I paid for. And I went, and my guy didn't own the equipment. We went and rented it. So I know what it costs to rent cameras and all the things and the lights and all the things. And we rented it. So that's your homework assignment, Ben. And then start it again on the side. Launch it back. Get back into it. Go slow. And every nickel you make on each individual job, you put it away. You keep your day job. I know what you're thinking. Ken, it's hard to start a production company and run it on the side. No, it isn't. You're just not going to be able to do it as often. But you do it enough if it takes you 3 years to get up enough money saved that it pays for your first 12 months in the business. And now you got relationships. Now you got clients. You got a reputation. And I'm going to challenge you on one other thing, young man. It might be the best thing you could ever do to swallow your pride and go work for somebody else and get paid handsomely to learn how to run the business. Think about it. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to have you with us. For our listening audience, We threw out an opinion question to the live YouTubers who watch the show. There's a chat room there. Should we do a fun eating segment on the show? We'll get to those opinions later. 844-747-2577. Curtis is joining us in Atlanta, Georgia. Curtis, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
How you doing, Ken?
I'm living the dream, Curtis. What are you doing?
I'm at work currently. But I'm actually on break, so I'm
okay. Okay, good. I don't want to steal from your boss. You know, that'd be awkward.
No, that's okay.
All right. What's
yeah, we're
up?
Good.
Okay.
So my question is, I just started a job about a month ago, and I really love the company. I love the people I'm working with. But I'm seeing job posting pop up as far as internal jobs, and I was wondering if it's too soon to apply. I have a marketing background, and I'm working in a more sales job right now. And I was wondering, you know, I've been here for a month. Is it too soon to apply for internal jobs?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's risky in the perception that it might create of you. Do you know what I mean? 'Cause I think you understand that's why you called me. You know, basically, you have to kind of go risk reward. The reward is you get a job that you really prefer and want. That's great. The risk is they go, oh, wait a second. This dude's been here a month and he applied for this job. We hired him for this job. We didn't hire him for that job. And he's already applying for that job. It's too risky. Now, here's the thing, though. I love where your head's at. Because you're going, I got in. This is what I teach. Now, did you do this on purpose? Did you take the job you could get just to get in?
Not exactly. I was leaving another job, and I got here. And I really, you know, I came during the interview and kind of sat with the team, sat in the pit. And I really enjoyed the community that they built, and just kind of the overall just experience.
So you like the culture, better job. You get in the building, you start looking around, and you go, hey, now that's what I want to do. So that's how this came about. Okay. It's natural. So here's the deal. Good for you, Curtis. I love it. I love that your head's on a swivel, but you got to win the now in order to get that next.
Gotcha.
You have to win the now. Now, I don't have a formula for you. I don't have like, all right, 6 months from now, it's okay. It's not that simple. What I would tell you is there's three things I want you to focus on, and then the next will present itself. Okay? You ready? You need to be super clear on what a win looks like in your current role.
Okay.
If you're not clear, you've only been there in a month, make sure you're clear. And I don't mean your job description. I mean, what does your leader expect of you? What does a win look like to where your leader's going, huh, man, Curtis is crushing it.
Gotcha.
At Ramsey Solutions, everybody on the team has a KRA. It's a one-page document, and it means key responsibility areas. In other words, Curtis, we are expecting results, specific results. Here's what we're expecting in these areas. If you don't have one of those, you can almost create your own by sitting down with your leader going, hey, I've been here a month. I'm in. I got my sea legs, if you will. I want to make sure that I know exactly what results you are wanting from me and how you are measuring me. That's a good conversation. All right. So that's what I mean by getting clear, knowing your role. Second thing is accept your role. Have an attitude of gratitude. You're grateful to be here because it's better than where you were. True or false?
True.
Absolutely true. So when I remind myself of that daily when I drive in, daily when I leave, it keeps me in a good spirit to be patient.
Gotcha.
All right. The third piece is, so know your role is one, that's clarity. Accept your role, that's the second thing you do, that's attitude. The third thing is maximize your role. After you get very clear on those expectations and how you're measured, I want you to go above and beyond what they expect of you. Do more than they ask of you. That's maximizing your role. Now, Curtis, if you do those three things, they will come to you and want to promote you. And that's when you go, well, I want to grow, and this is where I'd like to go. I'd like to go over here. That gives you the pulpit, if you will, the platform, if you will, to tell them what you want after they've come to you and said, boy, we want to keep Curtis. We want to promote Curtis. So there you go, my man. I really appreciate the call. Know your role. Accept your role. Maximize your role. Know your role. Clarity. Accept your role, attitude. Maximize your role, effort. Folks, you want to know how to win? That simple formula right there will keep you from being stopped. You will be unstoppable. You will become promotable. Oh, that's so good. I should charge you for it. Don't move. The Ken Coleman Show continues. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. We help you win at work and in life. Here's my entire focus for you folks. I want to help you make more money, but I also want you to experience more meaning in your work. This is going to lift your entire life. Okay, coming up in our bonus segment for our viewing audience only, the YouTube chat room has voiced a lot of opinions. I threw something out fun earlier in the program, and I made it up on the fly. I'm not seriously considering this, but I might. I don't know. This is all live, folks. I have ADHD, and I like to lean into it from time to time. So I asked the chat room on YouTube, do you want to see me eat something on the show? And I got to tell you, Morgan F. has got the... this is only one comment. I'll get into the comments in our next segment, so you got time to weigh in. And by the way, if you are the people that are saying yes, I would like you to make a suggestion of what I would eat. What would it look like? How would we do it? All right. But Morgan F. says, I'm here for the paper wrinkling sounds. And this is when I get excited and I do this about what I'm about to read. And she goes, I'm here for the paper wrinkling sounds. All in. But for the love of all things holy, please don't make us listen to eating sounds. Thank you, Morgan F. I appreciate that. I wasn't planning. Well, Joe, this is Joe's problem. He thinks that if I'm eating, that I'm smacking in the microphone. I'm not going to do that to you people. What kind of megalomaniac do you think I am? No comment, Joe. Don't turn his mic on, Alex. I'm not letting him talk. All right. Moving on to helping you win. It's pretty amazing if you think about it. In 2022, how much we can do with a click. Just one click. Now I got a new debit card, and I just tap it, and the money goes through. It's unbelievable. So think about it. You unlock your car. You tap the debit card. You can watch a movie with a click. You can call your best friend, pay your bills, and now you can actually get a great job, a job that is in your sweet spot. One click starts the process of working with my friends at ZipRecruiter the best way, the easiest way to get hired. It doesn't suck the life out of you. It doesn't distract you from your busy life. Sign up for free. It is free to you. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Best way to get hired. It's free. I'm not selling you anything. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Go today. All right, back to the phones. Miles City, Montana is where Adam joins us. Adam, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken.
How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well.
Well, that's
seems
good.
Like I'm on my way to living the dream. It seems.
Come on. I like this, Adam. So what's up? What are we celebrating today? I mean, what why'd you call me?
So I just went from two jobs making $38,000, and just signed a job offer for $80,000.
Well, hold on a second, Joe. Can I get some applause for Adam, please? Adam just went from two jobs making $38,000 to one job making $85,000. Yeah, hey, I'll clap for that. I mean, come on, way to go, Adam.
And I can
hold on a second. I do all that for you, and I get a. Come on, man. I'm more excited than you are. No, I'm not looking for thanks. I'm saying you need to have a little more juice, man. There we go. Are you proud of yourself?
Very.
Okay,
very.
You should be proud of yourself. That's phenomenal. All right, what's your question? Now that I've got you properly appreciating yourself, what's up?
I'm just really stressed that I need to perform like I'm worth $80,000 now.
Oh. What makes you think you're not worth $85,000? Be very honest. Who said something to you earlier on in your life? What happened to you? What environment did you grow up in? Because that's the source of this.
Well, I guess I was never thought I was good at school. I heard previously you talked about standardized testing,
yeah.
and you know I struggled a lot.
Yeah, I get it.
But
so did I.
I worked hard and ended up getting a bachelor's degree.
Yeah, you did.
Something I really, you know, it's something I really loved, and now. Finally, I'm going to be able to use that.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. Sounds to me like you busted your butt and overcame some struggles, and you just described somebody who earned what you have. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay, then. You got to remind yourself of that little speech you gave me. You earned it. You struggled in school, but still got a bachelor's degree. You've done countless things where you've had to endure hardship, failure, struggle, and overcome it to get where you are today. True or false?
True.
When you interviewed for the job, did you believe, even though you had some insecurity and doubt, and we all do, you put yourself out there, did you believe deep down that you could do the job if they gave it to you?
Absolutely.
And they gave you the job. And now all of a sudden you don't think you're worth the money? They do.
I negotiated to that, though. And they
doesn't matter. But that's what companies do. Companies aren't going to just give you the top dollar. They're in the business of making money, true or false?
True.
So, yep. So somebody trying to pay you one salary at what they believe they want to pay, and you saying, I want more, and they give you more, somehow that's a slight to you? Help me understand that reasoning. They thought you were worth it. They paid you what you negotiated for. They think you're worth it. True or false?
True.
Are you worth it, Adam?
Yes.
The answer is yes, because there's no salary that can anyway truly give you a worth. You are invaluable because you are a human being. There is no monetary value we can put on the life of a human being. Do you agree with me or disagree with me?
I agree.
So let's stop with the nonsense. You're dealing with some doubt. How long you been on the job?
I just signed. I start the 1st of April.
Okay. So you're scared. You're scared you're going to get in there and that they're going to see that you lied to them and that you were an imposter. But you told me just a minute ago you didn't lie to them, that you believed you could do the job, and you got the job. So you're going to have to get back to the days when you were a young man. Do you remember when you learned how to ride a bike or learned how to swim? Do you remember something about those experiences?
Yeah.
Were you scared at any point in those life lessons?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
Of course.
Of course you were. So how'd you step in and learn how to ride a bike? How did you step in and learn how to swim? Tell me.
Riding a bike, I rode in a circle, almost falling down until I straightened out.
That sounds like good advice for your first 2 or 3 days. Why don't you just ride the bike in a circle until you've figured out how to ride a straight line? Why don't you let them train you? Why don't you let them equip you and just keep yourself up on that bike? How'd you step into learning how to swim? Come on, tell me.
In an irrigation ditch.
That's fantastic. I want you to summon those moments and multiple moments in your life where you were scared, witless. You couldn't even think. And yet you summoned the courage to do it because you knew you could and you knew you'd survive. Am I right?
Yeah.
At some point, young Adam said, I'm not going to die if I ride this bike. At some point, young Adam said, I'm not going to die. Well, I don't know. That drainage ditch sounds a little sketchy, if I'm being honest. It might kill my whole metaphor. I'm not sure I'd love my kid to learn how to swim in a drainage ditch, but we're going to let that go because, Adam, you have what it takes. You can do this. They believe in you. I believe in you. And you believe in you, or you wouldn't have applied for the job. I'm proud of you, man. And welcome to the human race. We all deal with doubt. And that's okay. That's a sign that you're pursuing something that matters. Hey, for our listening audience, I do have to get out of here, unfortunately. For our viewing audience, stay tuned. We're going to get in the chat room and have some fun over there. You matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like the Dr. John Deloney Show.
Mental health challenges and hurting relationships happen to everyone, but they don't have to define you. I'm Dr. John Deloney, and I help people navigate through the messy things in their lives on the Dr. John Deloney Show. I'll walk alongside you as you face parenting, marriage, and other relationship challenges, and I'll walk alongside you as you try to connect with people, as you face depression, overcome anxiety, and learn how to change your life. Listen, I want you to be well. Listen to the Dr. John Deloney Show wherever you listen to podcasts.